You may be seated. Let us move forward this morning in our continuing. Everybody repeat after me. Scripture distinctions. Actualization in eternity. Manifestation in time. Hopefully you have the document there. We're in part 4. Everyone repeat after me. Viewing. The what? The temporary worldly. From what? Viewing the temporary worldly. Everybody repeat after me. Viewing the temporary worldly from the eternal heavenly. Otherwise, what we're doing here is we're laying out in our discourse the comparison between eternal things and temporary things. The temporary things are on the earth. The heavenly things, that is, the eternal things are in the heavens. Here you have something that is temporary. It is seen, but it's not reliable. On the other hand, you have something that is eternal. It is unseen, but it is reliable. Which one is the actualized essence of what you should be dependent upon? All right. Is it what we see with our eyes up on the matrix? We're living in turbulent times. What we see on the matrix currently, economic chaos. Absolutely. The threat of pestilence. The threat of famine. Oh, yes, you might not think so. Amen. The threat of pandemic breakout of diseases. The threat of wars. And personally in our lives, many of us have seen the essence of either our jobs, our neighbor's jobs, go by the wayside. That is how we support ourselves. There's political chaos. Absolutely. On every hand. There's the threat of interruption of many of the things that we have come to depend upon. All of these things are floating up there on the matrix. Question is this morning, the essence of what you see, or I should say the statement, the essence of what you see is not the essence of what is. What you see only mirrors in reflection of what is. And when you get the reflection, sometimes it more than a reflection, it is a refraction. Otherwise, it is obscured. You know, the scripture that we looked at last week or the week before, as we look through a glass, what?
Obscurely.
Obscurely. Enigmati is the Greek word there, which means you're looking through a glass and what you're seeing is like a puzzle. What we are seeing or what we are supposedly or thinkingly observing is raising more questions than it's answering. And so what we see, again, raises more questions than such answers. The essence of our life cannot be based upon looking up on the matrix and what we see there form the basis of our joy, of our peace, of our happiness, by security, of our hope, because all of these things are in the temporary worldly sphere when the essence of life actually resides in the heavenly sphere.
Yes, yes.
Now, Elder Nickerson is our designated reader. I want you to, first of all, let's go back where we were, where we closed. I'm going to get a chance to finish one of these days. Amen. In a two-hour session, I guarantee you I could do it. But since we don't have 2 hours, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28. Again, as we make this point again, everybody got to say amen. Our focus this morning will more be in Colossians 2:18. Everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
I hear pages. We'll wait on you. Amen. No use to go into page 2 until we get the thorough comprehension of page 1. Because page 1 is the prerequisite of page 2. In other words, we must have the requirement of understanding page 1 before we can attempt to explicate or explain page 2. All right? Elder, read that one verse from the that's from the King James. I guess we started a little early.
First Corinthians 1:28, and base things of the world and things that are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are.
All right, now let's go to the Greek here. Again, at the Grace Gospel Church, we use the Greek interlineal. And I think we saw that this morning, Brother Deacon, in Sunday school. Amen. It might read a little difficult sometimes because his feet are held closer to the fire following the actual manuscript writings. All of the English translations, as well as the others other than Greek, are conveyed from these manuscripts. The original manuscripts were written in Greek. If you don't have your interlinear, you'll just follow along as he reads. It's kind of close, but it conveys some things that the King James and others may not. All right, read.
1 Corinthians 1:28 from the Greek text, and the base things of the world and the things being despised choose God the things not being, in order that the things being he might abolish.
All right, basically, as we broke this down last week, the essence of what we see, basically, the essence of life is not that which we view up on the matrix, what we look out and we see, or we think that we see. What this verse is telling us, that the thing that we do not look at, the thing that is lightly esteemed, is the very thing that is. And these are the things that God chose, or that God decreed in eternity for the purpose of making ineffective many of the things that we see or we think we see as we view life. The things that are supposedly in the matrix. The essence of life is not about what you see with your natural eyes or what you comprehend. We think life is about what is around us. Life is more than what's around us. Essence of our life cannot be attributable to our perceptions. Our perceptions, many times, are only illusions. Yeah, what are you saying, Pastor? You're saying the thing that I see is not, it's not real. It's not me saying it. We read, we let the scripture convey this to our hearts. That these are the things that we are dependent upon. Again and again, you can't get around the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. We are not looking at what? Not looking at the things that we are seeing. But what? At the things that we are not seeing. Why? Because the things that we are seeing are temporary. And the things that we are not seeing are eternal. So the essence of our life is not in what we see, but in what God has said. Maybe some remember this. Repeat after me. It's not in the seeing.
It's not in the seeing.
It's in the saying.
It's in the saying.
In other words, it's not what we see, it's what God has said.
Amen.
There are many things that we're gazing upon this morning. And men's hearts are troubled, perplexed.
Absolutely.
Men of God's people this morning are frustrated. You know, God's people this morning are terrified.
Hallelujah.
We're no better than the world.
Mm-hmm.
Who do not have the advantage of the essence of these glorious truths that have been revealed to the church, to the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We must operate on what we know, not on what we see.
On,
what we know is what's in the Word of God. What we see are the things that our eyes supposedly behold. But these are the things that God has despised or lightly esteemed. So then why are they there? For testimony purposes. For a reason. Why is it? Jesus healed the man. He said to him, what do you see? He said, I see men as trees. Why did he see men as trees? For testimony, you see. To convey to us that we cannot trust what our eyes see. Then he touched him again. He said, well, now men are men. Well, men always were men. The essence of life is in God's word. Another scripture we touched upon deals with the essence of, well, let's go to it. Let's go to Colossians 2:8 before we go to 2:18. These are instructions for us. In Colossians 2:8, there is explicitly given instructions to combat the barrage of things that are thrown at you in so-called manifestations. Remember in the conference we some time ago we had demonstrations where we had light reflecting off an object, then into the mirror. Then depending upon the angle that one would look at the image would determine what one would see. And you can have five people, they can look at, supposed to look at the same thing and come up with five different renditions of what it is. I also remember the conference when you all remember the orange circle. And depending upon the angles of the light, those circles were reflecting every color but orange.
Everyone but. Amen.
Now we're taking our time going through this because there are things out there that will frighten you to death, will scare you,
absolutely,
will blow your mind,
amen,
will blow you away. And I pray that God's people who learn this lesson will be laying in your bed asleep, having a peaceful rest instead of walking the floor worrying about what am I going to do. What are we going to do? And you know, here's the thing that kind of, it's kind of amazing, but it's not amazing because we are all depraved and have depraved minds. But you know the song, each victory will help you what?
Another
to win. Every time we face some situation, we forget all about the last test and trial. Of course, Israel did it.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord miraculously parted the Red Sea. They went through. Didn't even get the feet wet.
Mm-hmm.
Or muddy going through. Just a few days later, they got hungry.
Yeah.
And forgot all about the Red Sea experience.
Amen.
And that's the way we are.
Amen.
So when the question comes, what are you going to do? Think like this, what did we do last time? You didn't do anything. Now, we're not saying don't do anything. But we are saying don't depend upon anything other than the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, you can go out here and do 5-10 things and whatever. And when you do that thing, don't you think that that's the thing that got you out of trouble? What got you out of trouble? God had decreed that you would get out of trouble.
Absolutely.
The problem was solved not through your effort,
mm-hmm,
but through the conclusion and manifestation of what had been actualized in God's decree,
right,
in eternity.
All
right, so here is the vivid instruction. Read that. Two and eight. Now you're reading from the Greek. Read from the King James, so everybody be on.
Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit.
Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit.
Mm-hmm.
After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ.
Okay. Now let's go to the Greek. Follow closely.
Look ye.
Mm-hmm.
Lest any one of you there shall be robbing.
You're being robbed. How are you being robbed?
Through philosophy.
Through philosophy.
And empty deceit.
And empty deceit.
According to the tradition of men.
According to the tradition of men.
according to the elements of the world.
According to the elements of the world, of the world.
And according to Christ.
And not according to Christ. You're being robbed because you're looking at the wrong thing. And this is the word of God speaking to us. Don't get caught up out there in all of that, which is all about nothing.
Amen.
The essence of it is all about nothing. Remember this. If God has decreed it, it must manifest. If God has not decreed it, it can't manifest. Republicans all got in office and said, well, we're going to do this, that, and the other, so forth, and, you know, became emboldened and said, well, hey, you know, this, that, and the other. So just a few days or months ago, the Democrats were saying, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And don't get caught up in any of that. Whatever is going to manifest has already been decreed. It's already existing, waiting to be manifested in time.
Yep.
And everything that God has decreed in eternity is a purpose. God's purpose. Our lives are not about ourselves. Another place in Romans, Paul writes, no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. And some of the philosophizing theologians brought in the port, said no man is an island. That's not what Paul said. Basically, when you exegete that, he is saying none of us have a reason for existing or living because of ourselves. Your reason for existing is not about you. I hear men in the ministry teaching people about their goals. And God's function is to help me achieve my goal. And all I have to do is push the right buttons and I'm going to get there. No! How many times have we started out to do something and it didn't get done? In fact, how many times did the opposite occur as to what we had expected and what our expectations were and what our plans were? Well, in essence, there's no way that you could have gone down that road, turned that corner, and accomplished or did what you had in mind to do. Because what we have are merely imaginary itineraries. God has the agenda. There's only one agenda, which is already laid out, accomplished in eternality, just waiting to manifest. I hear expressing sometimes God on our side. Yeah, that is crazy. It's like we're the imminent one. God is on our side. No. You got it backwards. If anything, you better get on God's side. We have been sold a bill of goods through vain philosophy that our life is about ourselves, and basically God is somewhere out there on the peripheral as an accommodator to feed into us what we need or what we want, really. That's not scripture.
It's not
about us, it's about Him. Not only is it about Him, it is all about Him. In Him, according to what Paul conveys in Acts to those Athenians on Mars Hill, in Him we live, we move, and we are. In Him. Everybody say in Him. Oh my God, help us to understand that it's all about. It's all about Him. Now, let's go to the bottom. bottom of page 97, we may not get to every piece of this, and we will be going through excerpts of this document also in our perfecting class 4:30 when we begin up again in January. At the bottom where it says those that are engulfed, you got that? Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Those that are engulfed in traditions of men need to be freed from them and controlled only by the inspired word of God. Here we reference Galatians 1:14. Philosophers and empty deceit, according to, here we have the Greek word stichia, which is rendered rudiments, that is, the physical elements, principles, are basic, mundane, or worldly elements of the cosmic systems, properly superimposed in false teachings, involving philosophy and empty deceit, which are based upon human traditions and worldly rudiments or elements. Such are without doubt not, here we have the Greek word kata, which is rendered according to. Here is our plumb line. It must align with the word of God.
Amen.
Whatever you see, don't stop there. Take it and juxtapose it or compare it with the word of God.
Right, right.
If it aligns, then you've got perfect sight.
Mm-hmm.
If it does not align, you pitch it. In file 13, you know what file 13 is. That's in the trash can.
Amen.
And go with what the word of God says, rather than what you think you see.
Amen.
Now here the Greek word kata is a preposition. This Greek preposition is used here is with the accusative case. What is the accusative case?
Correct.
It denotes to conform to, agree with, or be in harmony with. When it is negatively used, as it is here, not according, the thought is that those things that are opposed to it, that are the antithesis to it, that is the opposite of it, essence of those things that do not conform to, agrees with, or is in harmony with Christ, the messages and methods that are not in accordance with what God has decreed, and they are to be treated as such.
Amen.
Otherwise, the world's going crazy, we're going crazy too.
Amen.
World's depressed, we're depressed also.
Amen.
The world is living in doubt and fear, and we're living in doubt and fear also.
Amen.
Because we're looking at the same thing that they're looking at.
Amen.
And not bothering to compare it with what God has said.
Mm-hmm.
According to those in Christ, we have a clear mandate for our covenant. What is our covenant? The grace covenant. Everybody say the grace covenant.
Grace.
This is why ministering is about teaching from the grace covenant, the gospel of the grace of God, which reflects the truth and wisdom of the mystery. Everybody say the mystery.
Mystery.
That is the relationship between Christ and his church. Here we have an array of scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. We have to move on, but They're there, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 through 9, and of course, in corroboration, Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Furthermore, as we look at these orders, they're explicit and they're methodical, they're not involved. If you notice, the scripture never depends upon signs.
Amen.
The different signs. Physiology, physics, philosophy, mathematics does not depend upon psychology, does not depend upon what the world gives as answers and solutions and directions to things. Now, the teaching of the Word of God literally is always in season, even when it is viewed out of season. In other words, if the Word of God's conveyance clashes with these different scientisms of humankind, we are to truly and wholly rely upon what God conveys.
Amen.
Even if you don't see it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Even in perception, if you do not actually visibly view it, we walk by what?
Praise.
Not by what? Why do you think all of these instructions are in the Word of God? And there are a plethora of them. Why are they there? Why are the scriptures always conveying the opposite of what mankind is conveying? That's the difference between what is and what isn't, as we were dealing a few weeks ago. Now, identification and evolution of purposeful arrangement and intercourse of existence collides with critical examination of pseudo-scientific and pseudo-mathematical arguments of neo-creationists, dismantling them one by one. And you know, we won't get into that. You know, you get a room full of philosophers and science, and you know, they're always changing and altering what they say. I mean, how many years did they debate, and they're still debating, Einstein's law of relativity, E equals MC squared? They're still debating. Now, here, as we conveyed to you earlier, the thing that really is has very high integrity. What it means? Thing that has integrity doesn't change. It doesn't have to be altered. The true gauge of veracity, or the genuine gauge of truth, is consistency. You know, a lawyer gets you up on the stand, basically the first thing he tries to do is punch holes in your testimony. How does he do that? By showing inconsistency. Because if it's true, it's consistent. And someone said, you don't ever have to remember the truth.
Come on, Pastor.
You just tell it.
That's it.
As opposed to a lie, you got to remember that lie. It ought to be consistent.
Amen.
If it's true, it's the same what?
Mm-hmm.
yesterday, today, and forever, without change. Now, so the scripture treatment as such is calm, level-headed, and consistent, and always right on the mark. The scriptures are always right on the mark. Bullseye. The truth. Reality is truth. Reality is consistent. And much of what we view is not consistent. You know how things change from day to day. And I was watching the other morning, I was watching something about the people on Wall Street. I mean, I wouldn't want that job. I know the kind of money they make. My oldest granddaughter's part of her school exercise this past summer that she had to go to New York and spend some time on Wall Street, and she was saying how crazy it is. These are the people that whose health doesn't allow them to live long. They got money, but they're afraid of losing it. They got possessions, but they're scared to death of losing it. Almost sometimes it's better not to have it if you're going to worry about it. Because the first thing that we must understand and completely without equivocation be convinced of is that we don't have anything in this world.
Come on, Pastor. Bring it out.
No, you don't. If it is chargeable, if you stand a chance of losing it, you don't have it.
Amen.
If it can be taken away from you, if it can fall from your grasp, if it can move from your possession, you don't have it.
No.
And you know, the only thing that fits that description is your salvation.
Hallelujah.
Your house, you can lose it. Many people didn't think that. But I think if you talk to them this morning, they'll say, hey, no. Mm-mm. Loved ones, you can lose them. Your health. I mean, you can just go down the line of the litany of things. You can lose it.
Amen.
You don't really have it.
That's right.
But what you do have is so glorious. It more than compensate for what you don't have. Now, here's our problem. I'm talking about God's people now, not the world. And, you know, for them to be deceived, that's one thing. As you notice here, as we look through this passage, these admonitions are not to the world. They're to God's people. And more specifically, by them being in the grace covenant, they're to the church. They're to members of the body of Christ. It is to us. Because the truth, it never stoops to the kind of ad hominem rhetoric. What is that? Are you kidding? We just come out of the elections. And that's where they give you information based upon your prejudice rather than your intelligence. Where they convey to you things that will touch your emotion and not your intellect.
Amen. Preach it.
And much of what is being preached to God's people this morning
come on.
Is targeted to their emotions.
Amen.
And their affection for physicality
mm-hmm.
rather than their intellect and comprehension according to the reality of eternality. This is why we're so vulnerable this morning to what happens in the world, because we're looking at the wrong thing for our peace. When we have the right to divide the scriptures, scripture-wise, there's no doubt that unintelligent design, that's the things, anything that's out there that's not in the scriptures, is the milestone in the ongoing dispute between genuine science, objectively investigated of nature, versus unrelentingly attempts by the proponents of the false, that is pseudo scientific theories, and utilizing such deceptive labels as random design. What is random design? Oh, if I do this, that this will happen. If I do that, this will happen. And that's the way we live. What is random design? Depending upon which way the wind blows. Depending upon what I think and what I say and how I do, that's the way things are going to work out. Oh, God, help us. And all of us, this is the way we all think. That's not the way it is. We got to go with the word of God, what it says, even though it does not make natural, human, logical sense.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So they use jargon such as random design, irreducible complexity. What is that? Now, it is especially interesting how convincingly such inconsistent and often blatantly false notions are propagated in discourses erroneously marked as strict logic and adherence to the facts. And so whatever they predict, that's what we say. Hey, they say it's going to be such and such and such stuff. I mean, just looking at the weather should tell you something. Sometimes it comes out that way, but not all the time, right? They forecast things and say, well, it's going to be raining today. And they say, well, the wind shifted. And you see what I'm saying? It was decreed for the sun to shine. And this is why you're looking out the window and it's shining. Not because they said it. The essence of life is in what God has said. And so, in these views, what exudes visions from human comprehensions take precedence over the heavenlies. When these bodies, yes, we're on earth, conscious-wise, but where are we even more? In the heavens, in Christ. This is important in times of manifestations of great distresses, that we always remember that we're in Christ.
Right.
You are in Christ more than you're in debt. I said, oh, yeah? Huh? I said, oh, yeah? That's why Paul could be in that Philippian prison writing, rejoice, and again I said rejoice.
Amen.
They were plotting to kill him and then eventually did.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But he wasn't worried about himself. Because he had that experience, but God took him up in the third heaven. Woo, I better not go there. I get happy when I... Woo, good God. Oh, to view the heavenly view, to see the essence of eternity and that which God has in provision for us, to internalize these things. How do you think the Christians in the first century, standing in the Colosseum, wild beasts being turned upon them, glorified God, even as their bodies were being torn asunder? And God gives that enablement. Job, having lost all of his possessions, lost all of his children, balls all over his body, could say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is being enabled to see the essence of who you are above the things that are on you. Now, equally impressive is an analysis of the attempts by the religious pundits, that's the so-called experts and critics, authorities, many persuasions. All you got to do is to turn on your TV and you get the barrage of nonsense. Trying to show the compatibility of those things that are not compatible. Now these discourses provide interesting analysis of how things work. But do they work that way? No. Because as soon as you turn to the next guy, he says, "Now don't do it this way, do it that way." And they tell you that what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Oh my God.
But what may rescue the goose may kill the gander. Because it is not about the prescription of what's there.
Uh-huh.
It's about what God has decreed. How many of us have done things that we thought they were brilliant and that thing blew up in your face, and then you did something stupid and that thing came out brilliantly?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God's trying to tell us something. It's not about us. I know we've all done, I just use myself, done enough dumb things to be dead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so
you know why I'm alive? God decreed it. The essence of life is you are not in the driver's seat.
Amen.
And whatever God has laid out, that's what it is. So here, as we read the scriptures and we look at the humanities and science as they institute the prevailing axioms, that is statements or ideas, accepted as self-evidently true. That's what an axiom is. But in mysterious powers of harmony, so-called, in such twinkling meanings, do you know, look up at that light. Looks like it's constant, doesn't it? No, it's not. But it's going so fast you can't. You can't see the intervals. And that's what life is. Things are just flashing before us. And we think that we're honing in on something. Mm-hmm. With focus. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. No, it's not. And these are things we've got, oh God help us, to understand the essence of life. And this is why we don't have to stand and argue with the egghead scientists about what's true, intelligent design, the theories, the myths, the things that show up. And it's amazing. I was watching TV the other night, and something came on to talk about the Bible code. You know, it's going to take the Bible and make it fit. What mankind has construed. I said, what a proverbial case of the horse following the carriage. What should lead? The Word of God. The Scriptures. The Scriptures. Amen. The Scriptures. Now, let's go to the Scripture and then we'll quit for the day. Colossians, what did I say? 2 and 18. Here's where we'll end today. Everybody got to say amen? All right. Read first in King James. Give me 10 minutes and I'm going to just bail out.
King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
Colossians 2:18. Let no man beguile you of your reward.
That's that anthropos is not even in there. Man. That's not what Paul said. Well, finish. Let's go to the Greek.
Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which had not been seen, had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind.
Okay. Let's go to the Greek. Just follow along.
Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
No one you let.
Don't just drop that word let there. There's no let. Anytime you see that word let, and you're in historically, and you're into Paul's writings, Paul didn't say that. What does let mean?
Allow.
It means to allow. That's not what he said. And you notice he's got the little footnote by there? Why? Because he knows that that's not what it's saying.
No one of you give judgment against wishing in humility.
Mm-hmm.
And worship of the angels.
Uh-huh, of the messengers.
Which things which he has seen.
Which he has seen, or what they have seen. Go ahead.
Intruding into.
Mm-hmm.
In vain, being puffed up.
Mm-hmm.
By the mind of the flesh of him.
Mm-hmm. Now, you notice, as it goes on there, and we'll start here next week, the essence of it, basically, I'm just, in more what we call English friendly jargon. He's saying, no one cheats you of your prize willingly by humility and the worship of angels. Are messengers. Now, what are these messengers? Taking his stand on what he has seen. Are taking the stand of what they see. Of what the messenger sees. In other words, things are conveyed to us and we take it face value based upon what the messenger is saying. But here's the thing we must first ask, who is the messenger? Notice, he said, verily puffed up by the minds of the flesh. So right away you should ask, oh, wait, you back off. If it's coming from the flesh, watch it. If it's coming straight out of humanity and human time and human thinking, watch it. You'll be very, very, very skeptical of that. Talk about the skeptics. Where did that come from? What the scientists said? We're going to stop and look at this thing. How are we going to look at it? We're going to take it and we're going to compare it with the Word of God. And if it doesn't align, otherwise, because it is engulfed in physicality, you know what's going to happen? It's going to fail. If it's a physicality, it's going to let you down. It's going to falter. If it's a physicality, it must fail. But if it's a spirituality, it can't fail. Essence of life is the thing that we must understand. At the bottom of 98, I'm going to read this paragraph, and then of course, said, well, Pastor, you like a Bible? Well, then we in Bible class then. There are those that are sitting in congregations this morning, some are mega churches, and what they're hearing is not going to help. When you face the vicissitudes of life and trouble comes knocking on your door, this is the message you need. This is the comprehension you need. I was encouraged this week. I got a letter from a pastor. I'm not trying to, and you all know I'm not for trying to get no fame or nothing like that, but got a hope one of our tapes, and he's playing that to his church. Basically, the essence of life must flow through the message of the mystery, the Word of God. Now, there is and always have been attempts to reconcile various religious dogmas with the knowledge provided by modern science. Most recently, this has accelerated through an avalanche of jargons and philosophical notations beyond the comprehension of targeted constituencies. This effectuation, as probably intended, is to captivate through confusion and escape from the knives of scripture criticism. Everybody say scripture criticism. That's what we must apply. Shine the light of the scriptures on it. And see whether it stands or it falls. If it's true, it stands. If it's not true, it falls.
Amen.
Nevertheless, rescue avails through knowledge infused from the eternal heavenly vantage point. That's looking down instead of around. So it is the eternal heavenly vantage point of conceptions eminently, excellently suited for the role of actualized interpretation. Everybody said actualized interpretation.
Actualized interpretation.
Hence, actualized truth. Everybody said actualized truth.
Actualized truth.
It jumps enthusiastically into the task and proves convincingly that the apparently shrewd sophistications of scientific arguments is little more than a thin veneer of obfuscation hiding neo-arguments in jargon form. In these systematic ways, such languages only trigger difficulty in those truly spiritually informed, and simply, that is, difficulty in those spiritually uninformed, and simply amateurishly interested in what is earthly perceived. If that's where our focus is, that's where our heart is. And why? In this same epistle, Paul writes, since you are risen with Christ, do what? Seek the above things. Where? Where Christ sits on the right hand of God. And then it says what? Your affection, look on the above things, not on the things of the earth. What is it so hard about understanding, not on, and this is why, hey, I do battle with the word of faith people every any day of the week. Not on the, what does not on the things of the earth mean? Why not on the things of the earth? Because they're what?
Temporary.
Because what? Mm-hmm. They will let you down. Yeah. Because what? They will fail. They will come to naught. But what we want is a hope that is an eternal hope.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Song that we used to sing, we don't sing anymore. Most churches. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and what? His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly, completely, absolutely, unequivocally, lean, rest, what? On Jesus' name. On Christ. Everybody say on Christ.
On Christ.
Say it again.
On Christ.
The solid rock I stand. Why? Because all of the ground is sinking in sand. I end with this. Repeat after me. We don't look down.
We don't look down.
Y'all didn't repeat after me. We're going to look down.
We're
going to
look down.
And not around.
Not around.
Let's give the Lord a hand, please.